Good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome on in to today's Frame Waves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kelly Nix here with Thomas Wasson, host and writer of our Loaded and Rolling newsletter and show. Thomas, we've got a lot to cover and a very short amount of time to cover it here today. Let's start off by talking about some hot topics in the freight space right now, specifically contract rates, why everybody is getting absolutely curb stomped.
Oh, yeah, it's rough right now. Earnings season is in full swing, folks, and it's not looking good. We've talked about how it's not been good, us at Freight Waves, but the spot market leads the contract world by, around 3-4 months. So, we were saying it was bad months ago. Well, surprisingly, like a game of messed up musical chairs, the music has stopped and the contracted carriers have realized that there just aren't enough seats. So early stuff from J.B. Hunt as well as Knight Swift, two things that stood out. Both management said that RFPs in bid season was surprisingly competitive. I know that doesn't sound very soft, like in terms of a concern, but just like that upper-class grandma who scolded you in a very polite way, it means things are not good. And so in the truckload carrier market, it is definitely a situation where we have not gotten out of the woods just yet.
And to kind of couple that, Heartland came out with their earnings this week as well, and Craig Fuller tweeted that it was, again, surprisingly not super good from a truckload carrier perspective. Any thoughts on their numbers?
So when you make mergers and acquisitions, Heartland typically has a really good operating ratio, good operator. They do a good job. Well, when you buy carriers, the challenge is they're not doing a good job is why they typically got bought over 100 OR. So as we're looking at the earnings, we see another situation where trying to integrate what you have purchased and making sure it works remains a big challenge. So when we talk about mergers and acquisitions, that is one of the things you want to keep an eye on. Is it's one thing that you've caught it, but you got to figure out what to do with it in terms of making it work. Traditionally, truckload companies look at it like Game of Thrones, tiny fiefs, little vassal states that you happen to have. Very rarely do they outright absorb it. Look at Knight Swift. It's not just Knight. It's now Knight Swift with U.S. Express. They may share some commonalities, but they're very much separate trucking companies linked by an overarching umbrella.
Last question about earnings for you. Tesla dropping the ball on theirs as well, and not necessarily big in the transportation space, but we know with the introduction of the Tesla Semi and the deliveries starting to take hold of those, we expected to see maybe a little bit better performance in Q1. We saw about 9% fall in revenue, 6,000 workers laid off in the first quarter as well, which for the tech giant is absolutely huge, most of those falling in Texas and in California. What does that tell us about the future of the Cybertruck?
Well,
Cybertruck, of the Tesla Semi.
Well, all of them.
All the Cybertruck,
like 4,000 Cybertrucks, but they're under a recall at the time of this recording. So I saw one on the streets. I'm going to give a parallel to this. I've found this really great economy simulator, and it turns out when you have very complicated supply chains, little things can mess it up. In the instance of EV deployment, it's infrastructure. So you've got all the early adopters that want to buy the EVs. The next step is you have to provide the infrastructure and the cost and the total cost of ownership value, the whole package, to making sure it rolls out. So when we're looking at it, across the board, EV makers have had a hard time because we are reaching that saturation point of the early adopters, and we need to move on to the next phase, using the MBA speak here. You have to slowly make sure it reaches mainstream. We're stuck, and we are stuck because right now the electrical grid and everything else currently is lagging by a few years. I mean, look at Chattanooga, for instance. We have Tesla chargers at a Whole Foods, but it took the owners to petition the government to build the chargers for their Teslas. Pause for a second, audience. Think about that for a second. You will not have a successful market saturation if your own people buying it are having to petition on your behalf. So that's the bottleneck right now. The internal combustion engine still works. It's a very useful technology, but I think the issue we're running into right now in the EV front is we are almost at this weird ledge where we need to figure out what's that next step. And I think right now, making the cost of recharging it, making it painfully obvious, we talk about the 10X. Mm-hmm. So the 10X in terms, I'm going on a tangent, but it's useful. The 10X is I overvalue my product, which is the Tesla, by 3. If I'm selling this to Kaylee, she's going to overvalue the internal combustion engine by 3. Therefore, a factor of 3, that's already 6. I need to give it 3 times more interesting, plus 1, because I don't know why the MBA said it was 10X instead of 9X. But the purpose is it has to be painfully obvious this is a good idea. Right now, it's a great idea, but it hasn't reached mainstream consensus. So for the trucks as well, we have the same problem in trucking. We have hydrogen trucks and electric trucks, early test phases, need more infrastructure. We have early adopters, so we have the runway. They're in the opposite way. They're picking up speed, but it's a game of time. So at the end of the day, we are other factors are messing up EV production in addition to the EVs.
Perfect tangent for that, Thomas. I appreciate it because it's going to lead into the next point. But for more earnings releases, make sure you head on over to FreightWaves.com. Our incredible editorial team covering all the earnings that are released both from last week and as we head into the throes of earnings season. Thomas, really quickly before we head out on this FreightWaves Now Community Spotlight, talk a little bit about your show from this last week.
Had a great talk. Danny Gordon with Nugo Cargo. Cross-border movements is the name of the game. Things about trucking in Mexico. It's a really good conversation. One, we lay out what is the cross-border. You can go from point to point. You can go and switch trailers. You can switch drivers. You can put it in a warehouse. Anything that crosses the land border between Mexico and the U.S. Step one. Step two, it's extremely complicated. Mexico needs papers. The U.S. needs papers. Mexican drivers may need certain things to get in the U.S. to haul things. U.S. needs to make sure that the interchange and other things are set up. So there's a lot of stuff going in, but we also talk about the fact that for Mexican trucking companies, infrastructure and visibility is not like the U.S. They don't have ELDs. They have electronic logbooks, but no ELD. So every brokerage and every company that wants to source Mexican capacity, I can't just pull up the FMCSA. Mm-hmm. There's not a DAT or truck stop in Mexico. You can't just call one up. And if you find a Mexican carrier, it's word of mouth.
Or so, WhatsApp.
It's WhatsApp. That was the craziest part. So we got a clip about WhatsApp. I'm trying to get it pushed out on socials. Where we are using, instead of email, WhatsApp, social media, you know, communication, just to get tracking updates between the truckers, the border crossers, the forwarders, mm-hmm. and every other customs broker. It is a remarkable thing. So it is the Wild West south of the border. We're seeing the growth. It'll be a few more years before these factories turn online, but now it's a race. It's a gold rush because we now have to source the capacity and find it, and there's going to be winners and losers.
You want to have it in place before you truly, really need it. Thomas, thank you for coming on for this community spotlight for your show. Of course, you can find it Tuesday afternoons right here on FreightWaves TV. For the newsletter, head on over to FreightWaves.com, drop down the newsletters tab and subscribe. You might get a little bit of a nice little discount for the future supply chain also.
We have the discount code. Get the discount code. You want to miss, don't want to miss it. Next week, Nicola talking about sustainability with Hyla and their efforts building the hydrogen highway. Super cool stuff.
There you go. So we'll talk to you next week. Thomas, thanks.